Welcome to What's Left.
A weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left.
Exactly what that is.
We attack the left, not the right, in this episode.
Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, today our guest... well, we have a... Oh, fuck, I'll fuck this whole thing up. I am Andy Lipson. This is Kenny Zepeda. And you know Eduardo Abarca, but he's sitting in a little bit of a different position today because he's not just a host of What's Left today, but he's our guest. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm not the guest.
Well, he's the center of attention today because Eduardo took a long trip to Europe. He visited Spain, where he had something to say about what was going on politically there. And, well, just as importantly, he had spent how many weeks in France?
3 weeks in France and 1 week, más o menos, more or less, okay. In Spain.
Okay. So we felt like, and I do believe you actually went around, you, of course, you were there to be in France and stuff like that, but you wanted to go down there to also get a sense of the political situation.
Yeah. When I was an adolescent, I was raised Jehovah's Witness, so I always went to Europe because at that time my mother was married to a wealthy Jewish Mexican who always was very, making my mother be submissive.
Yeah.
So we would always escape to Europe.
And where in France were you?
In Paris. Okay. Yeah, okay. I stayed in Paris.
So, was that a good location from which to get a sense of what's been going on there politically? Because there has been a general strike going on there for how many days?
Yeah, well, it's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
It's been 3 weeks now?
Yeah.
No.
Longer. See, it's from the 5th of December until this day. I mean, just even yesterday, there was a, well, with time difference, I think it's sort of confusing. I feel like we're in the Matrix. One area is living another area, another time, and we're living here. But the firefighters just clashed with the riot police just now.
But this isn't the first time that happens, right? The firefighters clash with the police. Because I remember last year seeing that same episode. Because this happened like in the last few days, right? Like
when... Yes. Yeah. There have been other protesters. France is very well known for being very... their unions being very strong and constantly asking for demands for their workers. But this is the largest strike in modern French history that has happened for this long. It's been, what, a month and 20-some days? Mm-hmm. And the day I arrived, which was the 17th of December, I joined friends immediately. And I just got off the plane, and then I got off, I went from the airport on the bus, and I immediately joined the strike on the 17th of December.
So you say that's the beginning of the strike, not necessarily...
The 5th of December, okay. Yeah.
But and not necessarily of demonstrations, because I know that the Yellow Vest Yellow Vest movement has been going on for longer than the strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gives a little background maybe to what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the Yellow Vest movement?
We did an episode here on What's Left on the Yellow Vest movement. I invite our listeners and viewers to check that out. The Yellow Vest movement is not really going to stop, or it was inspired by some of already the things that we have been seeing globally, right? Where austerity measures and difference in globalism and neoliberalist policies in place, where, for example, or environmental shifts in policy, but normally targeting the working class instead of the wealthy capitalist class.
And specifically, the Yellow Vest thing was
related to the petrol.
An increase in tax or an increase in costs of fuel, of petrol, for the environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they are a faction on the side, and they're willing to join any of these movements, like the anarchists in France as well, or this one being led by the
trade union.
The trade union is the
General
CGT. See, the CGT, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, and let's stay with the Yellow Vest for a second. How long would you now say that has been going on? Because I personally was like, okay, this is going to peter out eventually, which it hasn't. But how long would you say that Yellow Vest's kind of being on the streets, creating trouble for Macron. How long would you say that's been going on? Mm.
I read some stuff that says over a year.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not more than 2 years. It's not more than a year and a half, but it's been over a year.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I guess people will listen to the episode, but is this movement, you know, characterized from like leftist, right wing? Because I've heard that it's composed of a mix of people.
Yeah. The Yellow Vest movement has evolved, I think, over time, right? I think initially it was mostly left-leaning. And then eventually there has been some reports where it was being stated that some of it was actually being a little anti-Semitic.
Initially it was actually characterized very early on as right-wing, as anti-environment, as run almost head up by the nationalists, the alt-right at some level. But that seemed to change fairly quickly to the idea that it was taking up other issues of social security and pension cuts and gentrification and...
It was like a spark, really, mm-hmm. for what the people were feeling pressure under the reforms that were happening. But mostly, I think it has been just like a volcano, no? Like a long-awaiting eruption that eventually they were fed up with. Just even the tiny bit of change in trying to increase anything for them under so-called environmental policies. When really, Macron was not really targeting the people who are the real polluters, mm-hmm. which are namely rich people, because mm-hmm. they're the highest polluters in all of this, because they're always...
An industry.
Profit-driven industries tackling the environment.
One of the things that I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is that one of the reasons that these became so prone to be volatile, or people, you know, rising up or demonstrating in some way, was that in effect it would affect the poorest who have been pushed outside the main city. Like it has happened in many cities across the world, the Bay Area where we live. And it's one of those circumstances where there isn't public transportation as easily available to, you know, the workers, the lower class workers. And so this was going to negatively impact mostly the lower income, you know, workers. Mm-hmm. And so
the current
the petrol tax. And you know, and it was being sold as again a pro-environment policy, mm-hmm. you know, to meet goals or whatever. I don't know, is that correct?
Yeah, it definitely made people feel under this pressure that they had to come out, and even in small towns people were I don't like to use the word rioting, I like to use the word just fed up, you know, mm-hmm. they were really, and this yellow vest, just to summarize, this yellow vest really is what has been given to, well, mandatory for all car drivers to have in their vehicle so that they can have in case to pull over or something. Mm-hmm. It's one of, and so they considered it as something that they could use as a representation symbolic to the working class that were protesting.
Right. But with, it seems that the anger drew in people from, yes, the right, but from the left, in the same way that Trump or Sanders from the right and from the left are able to appeal to a populist anger.
Yes.
But electorally, but this was able to tap into it in terms of an actual movement and people taking action.
Right. And let me correct something I want to say. You're right. I said that it initially was left-leaning. And I said that simply because I think some of the factions that I know personally myself were left-leaning. Yeah. But it did bring about a very unification between the right and the left, mm-hmm. where they could relate in terms of how they felt under under the current system, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the reason I brought up and I was asking about the Yellow Vest movement is because reading some stuff or watching some things surrounding what's happening in the last month and a half, you know, the strikes, I keep reading that was a spark that motivated, and even some of the unions that are actively striking, they took some of their tactics, you know, and used them and make them their own. Mm. Because now, like, unions have taken a bigger role, it seems, right, in this opposition to policies. And, you know, the latest, I think, is the pension policies, right? That, mm-hmm. and this is why a lot of the unions have been striking for the last whatever weeks. because they're trying to up like the retirement age mm-hmm. and basically undo the system of pensions and make it a one system, right? Like there's like 42, I don't understand that very well. I don't know if you do.
The 42 what?
Like I heard that there's like 42 pension options per se. Yeah. And then they want to unify it into one system.
A universal one, yeah. That they're in prior to the 5th of December, Macron, well, one of his key promises during his election year was to reform the pension system, the retirement pension system that in France. He's trying to simplify it into just one universal mm-hmm. system, like in Germany.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I heard too that, I was listening to these economists or whatever, that he was saying that basically workers will lose about 30% of their pension benefits. So they will be reduced by that much. And so that's one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of unions have gone on strike. And these are state workers, right? A lot of them. It's mainly state workers, not a private industry union, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like state workers.
So sanitation workers, transportation workers. Even so, we were talking about the firemen, right? Because today I woke up to images of the police beating on the firemen mm-hmm. union, firemen striking. And whacking them on the head, you know, these are supposed to be two of the quote-unquote right. safety, you know...
First responders,
yes. Yeah. And so one first responder is whacking another, you know, first responder, throwing gas, you know, what do you call peppers?
Pepper spray.
Gas. Mm-hmm. Water cannons. It's brutal. It's not, you know, it's kind of shocking, you mm-hmm. know, but it's not surprising, I guess, mm-hmm. if you're... But I don't know, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and part of Macron's strategy was to try to reform the first few, I think it was 8, or the very first most urgent pensions for the people that in most need. For example, the police, the train, railway workers. The ones that would affect the country the most, which he would be able to appeal for. And that's why the right police, or the police, for example, were clashing with the firefighters, because... the police are able to have more of an alliance with someone that's going to just buy them into a way to use them against each other. The working, I think.
Do you mean that like they're the police's pension plans were or were not going to be affected?
I'm curious about
they were because but Macron dealt with their retirement funds first. Oh, and amongst the first.
Right. But first. Were there cuts made to theirs or not cuts made to theirs?
No, theirs were. I don't want to say something about that one, okay. because I'm not too sure about that one, but okay. I know that he reformed theirs. The first few, I think 8 or the first few most urgently needed workers in the state were reformed first in a way that was beneficial to them.
Ah,
that's what I meant.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that was a question I had. Why aren't police striking next to, you know, firemen?
Because you sort of divide and conquer, no?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they're the coercive apparatus, and you need that to impose rule and quote-unquote order, right?
Yeah. So what do you, and when they say, I mean, this whole notion of need to reform their pension, what are they saying when they say that?
The different sort of plans that there are for different workers have been negotiated by their unions to work best for them. Mm. And Macron hired someone, I forget his name at this moment,
yeah.
but he was designated by Macron to do a whole evaluation of the entire pension system. And when it was revealed that he himself had hired people, or well, they weren't really hired, but people that were working voluntarily in this, to reform the pension system, he had ties to the industry where it would benefit them. That's what people were really upset, because people were seeing that this whole thing was a sham. One thing I want to focus on in this episode isn't so much the details of this pension plan, which is important, mm-hmm. and I think most people can find it. What I really want to focus on is that what I have talked about with my friends back in France is that it's beyond the pension plan. It's beyond the entire thing about it's about this whole neoliberalist system imposing their ideals onto them, and people don't want any more Macron. They don't want a fascist in place. They don't want this president. They want a new system. Unfortunately, I feel that the working class are not as well organized in France to be able to topple down this government that was in partly inspired to do so by the, well, not inspired, but like the Yellow Vest movement was sort of trying to gather up the support of that. The trade unionists were trying to shut down the entire country of important what do you call it, important
industries.
It's very much like the, what I guess I'm trying to get at is, it's more like the petrol rate that got up, that it's was just a spark of what has caused this entire movement. This is the very first time in a long time that even the metro, which is widely used in Paris, is not functioning because it's people are on strike. The entire 60% of the population of France right now is in support of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
I have spoken to both sides, but...
What do you mean both sides? Oh, people,
well,
who
people
support.
Who don't support and people oppose it and people who support it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hear from people that don't support it? What have you heard?
People feel as if there have to be negotiations, and they trust Macron. They trust that he is the leader of Europe, and the liberal leader of Europe. And these are people whose pensions are not being affected. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to someone in particular at a hostel that felt as if Paris, or at least people, were giving a sort of communist agenda that he was opposed to, that he feels that the unions or the people as well who are organizing in the movement are sort of trying to push it just beyond the pension, are trying to create a larger conversation around socialism. And he is not in agreement with socialism. A lot of people are not in agreement with socialism. They are afraid and they look at Venezuela, which everyone blames.
They mention Venezuela over there, you think? Or?
Yeah, they'll say, like, they'll blame, like, what do you want us to be? Like some third world country that's a socialist country? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Venezuela? Or?
For me, I think when I've read things, I've read that they say, oh, there's pension cuts. People getting cuts to their pension. And it sounds like there was a set of people in the beginning, the police the most, who got their pension re-changed in some way, but it didn't constitute a large cut. Maybe it even constituted a growth for it. And then there was another section of workers who are now, their pensions are facing some kind of... are under threat to some extent because their ages are being, maybe the cut is being talked about because the age which they retire increases. I guess you could call that a cut, but I had understood it as there were a set of workers who actually felt like they were not going to get as much of their pension back as a result of this, which I do think is an important thing.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's why I'm wondering if there's a way, like, is this whole thing of, oh, we're just consolidating your pensions, is this some sort of bureaucratic trick? But then, like you're saying, there's another set of workers who haven't even had their pension affected yet. So they're kind of, to me, it looks like the French ruling class is kind of going block by block. You get your pension kept fine if you're the police. Here's a section of workers, whether you're, it looks like transportation workers, some of those first responders, firemen, I don't know if there's another set of workers who fall under this, but they're certainly represented by the CGT, and the CGT felt pressure, it seems, to they say we have to do something to stop this. And I do think it was partly sparked by the general yellow vests. They felt like we were going to have this ongoing, not just 2-day general strike or 3-day general strike, but they proposed doing it like, we'll start the strike now and we'll just see, we'll go until our demands are met. And at least that's what I understood. Mm-hmm. So I do think the question, I understand what you're saying, that the now, as the thing has drawn on for 50 something days,
mm-hmm.
now it's morphed into the things. I know some people are getting financially exhausted, mm-hmm. right? I know the unions, there's talk of some of the unions trying to shut things down. But I am sure that now the movement has kind of gone in different directions. And then there's the people who say, this is too much, you know, you have to accept some sort of cuts. We can't afford to, we can't afford your pensions anymore. There are people who say that about teachers here mm-hmm. in California. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we've got to you know, reorganize the pension plans for teachers and others because the state doesn't have the money. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree with you, and I mean, you have so many unions coming out together, organizing, mostly led by the CGT.
Yeah.
On this issue, because it's their livelihood. No, it's they are. This is such a great thing. I think that when people are afraid of what, you know, you're talking about something that's going to be in the future, not something that they have to. Whatever is happening now is going to happen in the future, like you're saying, yeah. with teacher pensions as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
There were workers would say that they, even though they personally wouldn't be affected by it themselves,
mm-hmm.
that they weren't in support of the workers that were going to be affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
In solidarity, they came out for that. And I only wish that the entire country would be more unified to shut down, actually, at least the city itself. But I think that when we talk about unions being, I'm trying to talk about like what we have said before, as a key element for a revolution,
mm-hmm.
you need to have that solidarity. What did we say it was?
Secondary strikes.
Secondary like strikes, yeah. Thank you. Secondary
where one strikes. Union goes on strike, and,
yes.
and whether it's legal or illegal,
yes.
another union goes on strike, not because of a contract, but just to support the other workers who are on strike.
Exactly. So yeah. I saw that there, and people talked about it there. And I just think it's also a model, because the French unions are stronger, I feel, this is my perception, than the unions here in the USA.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, my sense that, you know, again, we don't know the details, I guess, of the, you know, the particulars of why people are there, but I think it is, you know, more of the global, you know, sort of convulsion that's happening, you know, because, you know, this is happening in Chile, you know, mm-hmm. and happening in Nicaragua, you know, 2 years ago, Bolivia, well, Ecuador, mm-hmm. You know, in Haiti. It's happening in Haiti, and Puerto Rico, you know, I don't know if you've kept up. So Puerto Rico is basically under a military, not an economic junta or, you know, dictatorship, but from the US, basically fiscal control and telling them how to spend things. And so they've had a bunch of natural disasters. So people have gone out into the streets, and last week they were parading a guillotine, out of all
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming for their leaders. But again, it's part of this big worldwide neoliberal assault, you know, on working class. And so for me, it's important to keep an eye on France, because like you just mentioned, it's one of those few places that have a stronger, you know, union organization or strength.
Mm-hmm.
With it. So my curiosity is, you know, maybe to you, Lipson, like, do you see, you know, the possibility of revolution here? You know, why not? And is this, you know, somewhat like what socialism would look like?
Mm. Well, I guess I would go back. I'm going to put the question to Eduardo, because I have to think about that. But I would like to ask, why do you think this general strike happened? Like, because this is the longest general strike that's gone on for that. Maybe
I think
in French
since
history?
1995.
Yeah, or is it longer than that? Or
no, there have been other ones as well, but this one is the longest in terms of like Paris Metro. I'm just saying that the entire country is on strike in different parts of the cities. Yes, now.
Okay.
Which I think is what distinguishes it from other strikes, whereas it normally was as in the epicenter of Paris.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you think has been the connection between that and, say, the Yellow Vests? Like, is the reason for that it's taken that character, do you think there's a connection to this thing that's been going on with the Yellow Vests for almost over a year?
I think the Yellow Vest movement sort of has empowered this strike. I think they laid the groundwork to see how they could do something. I think the Yellow Vest movement has many flaws, in part that they're not very, it's like the Occupy movement. I felt like it wasn't very strategic in laying out its specific goals. Mm. It's this, you know, very free flow. It's just not as organized as it needs to be able to topple a very organized government, you know? And it isn't organized in a way that I think that I have seen, for example, the commune, the communist movement that did have a general strike in Paris, or even the one in Seattle where you had like kitchen soups and all that. They do have some things like that in Paris, mm-hmm. but the Yellow Vest movement itself has been divided within itself. They have so many divisions with itself, like the Occupy movement, that I don't think it's very strong. But the thing about the Yellow Vest movement is that it has given France this new awakening, I think, to be able to do things like this strike that has happened now. And I think that's the connection to it. I think people need to feel like they have some power, their sense of power, that they're not just some person and, you know, mm-hmm. they're in just work, going to work. I think that they need to go to, they need to feel that. And this is what is, I think the connection is. This is that they feel the empowerment from the Yellow Vest movement. And many in the Yellow Vest movement were in there and in the mm-hmm. protest, I saw them. As I think the Yellow Vest movement is very relevant to it. And I just want to come back to it. So as we're talking, yeah.
And then the other question that would come for me is about that, which is, so the Yellow Vest movement, I think, could be seen as like having being some disorganized and not having a one kind of set of coherent demands. And yet, from what I heard, as soon as the union said they were going to do this plan, or maybe it's happened at the same time, the Yellow Vest movement said it was going to get involved. So how does that happen? What's the organization? What's the basis by which something that has an organization, like a union, how does it interface and interact with something like a Yellow Vest movement? Through what vehicle? There must be a leadership. There must be some kind of organization, because I don't think the unions would know how to deal with that without it.
I cannot speak for them. I think one thing I have to be very careful is I cannot speak for them. I will just say what I have observed and what I've heard in conversations. Mm-hmm. How the Yellow Vest movement is sort of interacting with the organizing the union movement, and how is it, I cannot say that. I think that the unions, when they organize out and they're protesting, they're not really in a position to having more people out on the streets. The police count what? A certain number of people. The CGT counted about 1 million people throughout France. I forget on which date that were coming out. I think that the more people come out, and that includes the Yellow Vest movement, that includes other factions, as long as they're in solidarity, coming out onto the streets. I think one thing they want to strive to just stay away is be distant themselves with the violence that sometimes happens. But I don't think that they really see them as, oh, they cannot join, they're not, you know, too far, too extremist or whatever. I think that they are okay with it, if that's what I'm understanding from your question. What I think that they don't want to be associated with is...
This is the unions,
you're saying. The unions, which I think this is probably what you're trying to get to, is to sort of get into anything that sounds or may be like, we need to get rid of Macron, like try to get him ousted in a way that, you know, I think the people at the top of the unions know how to play their political cards quite well, mm-hmm. where they're not going to also get into socialist ideologies mm-hmm. into play, so that they're not, you know, they're still reformists. They're not, you know, and am I making it clear? They're not, the Yellow Vest movement, I think, is not, they don't label themselves reformists or socialists, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but they're certainly a little bit more radical than a trade union, as mm-hmm. organized as a trade union is. Mm-hmm. And they're more going to make negotiations with the government. And sometimes that could be in conflict, like with GMT that we did, with the best interests of the workers. And mm-hmm. I don't think the Yellow Vest movement is that they're just joining, but I don't think they're going to make any, like, let's make an alliance here, if that's what you're saying. I don't think that they're going to go like that. Okay. But they're a part of it. And some people are union workers and Yalovas, part of the Yalovas movement. Mm. So, I mean, it's just part of the role out there. I'm not sure if... I don't think they're making any alliances like that, officially. I don't see anything or anyone saying the trade union is going to be an alliance or we're going to work and topple out a certain part of the system or something like that. They're really just going to focus on one issue, which are the pensions. Or, correct, for example, the firefighters right now, the hazardous bonus that they haven't received, they want an increase since, I think, what? The 90s it was that they had a hazardous bonus, and so they've come in, they've come out.
So the fire workers, the firemen are, or the fire workers are not about pensions, it's about something else.
Just recently, yeah, this one is about, the specific one was about hazardous bonus, hazard bonus, yes.
But it's just kind of adding, it's just sort of piling on with in the general atmosphere of some strikes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just to me, it sounds like it's very reactive, and like you mentioned, reforms or negotiations of pensions is a... It sounds like it's still like in the on their heels, right? Like they're just because when negotiations happen, you're gonna get less than what you, you know. It's not about conquering political power, you know. Like I was just thinking about the question I posed earlier, but you know, so yeah, like you said, it's not about political transformation.
Don't think it's like that. It's very reformist. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Andy as well. You would be critical of some of these unions. They're not attacking, you as a socialist, what I think I'm just saying, yeah, that loud because I know this is, I'm speaking for you, but yeah, it's what I think is that you want is sort of more a revolution to happen. You need to be able to have more specific demands and just completely be anti-capitalist, which I don't think the trade unions are anti-capitalist.
Well, I think part of my curiosity is what's taking place there is class struggle, right? And I think there has been a section of the working class in France that has been in struggle with the state for over a year. That some of those people are middle class, but some of those people are working class. And now you have a whole section of the working class has now joined in a definite struggle. Not a revolutionary struggle, but a definite actual class struggle, which is we're going to withhold our work and try to force our bosses and their emissaries, the people of the state, to bend to our knee. We're going to use our weapon, the strike weapon, okay? Now, so whether they will be successful, not that that doesn't matter, it does matter, but some of the things I'm interested in is to see what sort of organization has formed among the unorganized, the yellow vests, in this time? Because organization is going to matter, and I do sense that there's something that's taken place there. Something has sustained it for this year and kept it from just falling apart. And secondly, then this is what you were going to get at, which is, in the context of now almost 60 days of a strike, what sort of what's happening politically for people that's taking place? And I think you were beginning to get at that when you said there's a set of workers who said, well, you've got to settle, you know, because this is not good for France any longer. But for the people who are now, who have engaged in this struggle, what's happened for them? Where have they gone in their mind as to what has to happen? Those are some of the questions that I have for me, because it's about how have workers been changed through this? I think the only way they can win is to have a revolution. That is the only way they can actually win.
You really do, yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, otherwise capitalism, if it stays, is always going to hem them in with something that says, we have to retain profits. So a profit system has to go away in order to actually allow the full liberation of workers and that's going to be a global thing, ultimately. But, so the second question, because it's not looking like a revolution kind of, but what transformation has taken place of workers and their ideas and their conscience and their organization through the course of this? and what conclusions may they have drawn, or are they drawing out of this struggle? Those are some of the questions I guess I have.
Yeah. I have a sense that it's people are feeling heat, like you're feeling I think this is part of the reason why, again, we look at people blaming immigration in France, because where do you point fingers to when you feel economic hardships?
Yeah.
This is why people start in France to start pointing the finger where they're told to point the finger, mm-hmm. and they're told the boogie person is, which are the immigrants taken away or taking advantage of their
using up resources system, of the state.
Using up resources.
So we don't have money to pay for your pensions.
Right?
Yeah.
Or and so I feel that anger is maybe a reflection of the sentiment that you're trying to get at. How is it at the conscious level, what are they feeling? Mm-hmm. And if that anger, if we just step away from all the racism that exists, I think behind that is what the pressures, the economic hardships, like we had talked about in the episode where I told you about Florida, where mm-hmm. people don't know how to, some people misplace their anger. I think it would be very interesting, what you're asking. I think I just don't know if I feel a little comfortable completely saying it, like, this is exactly what the French people are saying. Like, I know that when you have Paris being the largest, one of the most most richest cities in Europe, where you cannot live anymore, or you have tourism coming in and you have gentrification happening, and you have a fight for jobs under the system where you have a certain amount of jobs where now they're being pushed out by some workers, mm-hmm. and then others who are just feeling this just cannot keep up with, they're just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. That's why I think that the sentiment is still there from the Yellow Vest movement on to today, where you could have a movement like this and have over 60% of the population supporting something like this, because everyone is feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
I think that is partly something about your question. I hope as well that globally they're also inspired by what's happening around the world. I think that there's just something that everyone is, if you notice throughout Latin America or throughout, just people are really rising up.
And is that something that's acknowledged in France, like the French workers?
Yes, when I was when I arrived from the airport, there was, and I arrived and I met up with people at the desfile.
Parade?
No, desfile. At the...
We speak different Spanish.
No, I mean, I know it's sometimes, because desfile could mean parade too, that's why.
The march.
When I arrived at the march, there was a section of people as they were walking that were from Latin America talking about Chile. And they were yelling out in Spanish. They gave, you know, they would continue and then they would stop. And then the bullhorns went out. And then they would speak very loudly in Spanish. And then they would translate it in French. And then behind that, then you had like African nations. So it's not like it's connected, is what I'm trying to say. This is one piece of lots of uprisings that are happening globally. And they acknowledged it. Even when they had a women's march, but it was more of a protest where they had this women's anthem on feminist
that took off from Chile, right?
Yes, they did it in French as well. So I think that they're making connections to what is happening globally, and it's not just specific to France. I think they're acknowledging, because it was a big part of their march as well, that there is something happening globally in the air. Now, one thing I wanted to say before I forget is, at one point I'd like to say that there is something called the Black Vest Movement. Mm.
I don't know about
that. Which is more specific, I think, to what the Black French are feeling. And they want to try to keep themselves as well.
French people who are Black?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, African French. I mean, okay. We didn't say African Americans, you'd
right.
say African French, right?
Yeah.
They'd be either immigrant or non-immigrant or people who have grown up in France or they come from the French colonies.
They're Black vests, but they're not wearing Black vests.
No,
Black
it's just they're trying
wearing
to
yellow vests.
Yeah, but they are themselves trying to make themselves aware that they're also a specific part of them are also mm-hmm. having maybe different sort of pressures from the general yellow vest movement.
Okay.
I think it's more like an identity politics thing. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the point is that I just remembered this as I'm talking about the march mm-hmm. and how I walked through it and then all of a sudden I saw them and I thought, oh, what?
Right.
So I'm a little bit on a tangent there with that. But mm-hmm. And I thought it would be interesting. But mm-hmm. So yes, it is, I think, connected to the global movement that there are risings everywhere and they acknowledged it in this very same march mm-hmm. on the 17th of December when I was there. I think as well police... I want to stop there before I talk, because I was talking... I just remembered something about like the police brutality and how much, if you want to ask me about that, because there was a lot of police who were threatening people who were using their phones, filming.
Right.
Just filming. ¿Cómo se graba? Recording.
Recording.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. When I get so nervous, I start talking in my head in Spanish. I need you. Like, ayúdame.
So, wait, the cops were threatening people that were recording them?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But then maybe I want to first stick one point, because otherwise I do this thing where Andy knows I go off on tangents. So just try to keep me on track. But I'm just mentioning stuff that you can ask me about later.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yes, go ahead. To answer your question, yes, acknowledge it. It's a part of the larger global movement, I think, that they're acting in solidarity with. Maybe not as many as I would hope, but, you know, the CJT did count over 1 million people throughout. Did I say this already?
Yes.
All right, good.
But I think you were also saying that CJT is indifferent to if that's their members coming out.
No,
just as long
yeah.
as the numbers are big.
Yeah, yeah I yeah. think that they're looking for the general public support. And that may include the Yellow Vest movement.
Yeah.
And for sure, the socialists were there. I saw many there. And they had their own sort of way of, what do you call it here in the USA? It's a black bloc.
Hmm.
What do you...
That's for anarchists. Those are anarchists.
Yeah, yeah. I saw yeah. some people like that dressed in all black. And yeah. I saw...
They're in France as well.
Yeah. I wish I would have had a camera to interview people and then look at it later and to translate. Unfortunately, my camera was small and then it got broke. So it was just a really bad idea. Anyhow, I did a lot of the recording on my phone, which I could share with video and images later on.
Mm.
So I hope I answered your question a little bit, partially, if you said that, how is it or do you think it's connected? Yeah, I think it is connected. I think that it's not just strictly pension related mm-hmm. or worker related to France. Mm-hmm. I think globally it is connected, yeah.
So you talked about how
yeah.
the politics for people are shifting through the course of this. There are two ways this can go, right? Like you said, it can go in the direction of people immigrants being blamed, other sections of the working class within France being blamed, sort of that work divide and conquer kind
yeah.
of way, and people could fall for that within the struggle. Or
oh yeah.
Or the ideas need to go leftward and be like, okay, this cannot be answered by our trade unions. This strike needs to be expanded, like you said, into secondary and tertiary. Like, we're going to have to shut down all of France and then form our own. Like, we're going to have to take control of our industry. That is where that will have to, that's the more left-leaning sentiment if it exists. What do you see as the trends taking place? Like, where do you see people shifting? More rightward, more leftward, but both in the same time? What do you think?
Uy. For some of this, what I found interesting, different from here, is that both right and left leaning folks are very supportive of their unions.
Mm-hmm.
Very supportive. That's something that they're unified by. So the criticism on immigration, they'll have very strong debates about it, but they're very unified in this area.
What's your sense compared to the US, like in France, what's the anti-immigrant sentiment? Like, is it as big as in the US, you know, is it like comparable, is it like a lesser degree?
I think the French are more accepting of immigrants than the USA is, for sure. I think I'm just comparing those two countries. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're best at their immigration policy, certainly is very discriminatory. And it's not something I would support anyhow, because I mean, we're here, and I think the three of us have stated at one point or another that we're for open borders, no? Mm-hmm. And so any country that still has some way of the right way to legalize into something is still anti-immigrant, mm-hmm. even if you are considered as French, or the French are considered as like very friendly. They're not really, in my view, but you were just talking about the US and France. I think as a small country, they've taken up a lot more of refugees and a lot more immigrants, and this country, I think, would be, it's just embarrassing, this country, how many. I think there aren't detention center or detention camps the way that there are here in the USA. There are, but not of separation of families. And I asked about that in France. They don't separate children, though. It's very, the USA, when I talked about that with people, they find it very inhumane to do that. Now, I mean, we could also say, well, is it inhumane to just keep families in detention centers, even if they are together? Well, I mean, yeah, that is also inhumane. But they really will say it's inhumane to separate them at all.
Do you have a sense where most immigrants are coming from?
Africa. And the Middle East, for sure. They are the most, it's like, you know, whatever's in proximity to your country geopolitically. I mean, if you look at what, you know, people are coming here, Latinos, it's because we're just down of the south, no? And over there as well, as from the south, from Africa, Northern Africa, and the Middle East with Syria and everything that happened, that's happened with the wars there. There have been more over time. I'm trying to figure out, like, going back to your question, can you sort of
Kenny's kind of saying, what about, because you talked about the black vests, so mm-hmm. that must be, are those people African immigrants, or are they people who were born in France? And
both.
To what extent do people who might be immigrants, do you get a sense that they would be welcomed by the movement? Do you think that there's divisions there? It's not so much what the French state is doing, but what is the sentiment of the movement on the ground? I understand the French state might be a little bit more open, but I think our questions are attempting to get at what is the sentiment among people who are involved in this struggle? Do they welcome immigrants into their struggle? Is it a division thing?
In Paris, the movement is more accepting of immigrants, and they'll have that diversity. In the smaller towns, they'll focus mostly on the economics mm-hmm. issue. Because there isn't that diversity, and a lot of it also comes from more conservative towns mm-hmm. and cities. And Paris is unique to that, where even Nantes, it's another city as well where they have that, but not in the smaller towns. They focus more on just their livelihood and the economic pressures that they are going through. So if you're talking about the movement at large, I don't know if everyone would be in agreement, that'd be very interesting. But I know in Paris, yes, they're very accepting of immigrants joining the struggle and having, whether you be black, whether you be an unskilled worker, whether you be a lawyer, unskilled worker, whether you be a laborer,
right.
Like a physical laborer, worker,
yeah.
or a lawyer just recently, lawyers just threw out their... there was a symbolic gesture by some of the people, the lawyers, throwing out their own suits.
Okay.
Suits.
They did what with their suits?
They threw them out in symbolic at the courthouse.
I see.
In Paris.
Okay.
So it's whether it be lawyers, whether it be firefighters, whether it be construction workers, whether it be railway workers, they're all here together. And then you also have the diversity of the immigrants being joined in. So I think it's very welcoming. And you don't see that a lot in the smaller towns. Like I would say a small town like that I lived in, which is called Mouchon, which is south, La Rochelle, which is it's a small town where I was the only Mexican in that small town. Mm-hmm. And you won't have that sort of diversity there. You'll have more of a, como se dice, it's just more economic. They'll focus more on the economic pressures.
And that's interesting to me because, again, the Yellow Vest movement would have been accused of being sort of anti-immigrant as well, early on. Can you make a statement, yes, no, like or it's split based on what you
it's
saw in France?
It's split because, like I had said, this, the Yellow Vest movement has attracted both people on the right and the left, and they have stated that some of the Yellow Vest movement have stated that they don't think right now it's a Frexit they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And it's based mostly on trying to limit immigration.
Okay.
Some of the people of the Yellow Vest movement have also been accused to have thrown the tombstones of some Jewish people at cemeteries. Mm-hmm. That's in the news. So I think that it can be a little mixed. Largely, I feel maybe it's because of the people I talk to in Paris, and this happens to be a big city, is that it tends to be accepting mm-hmm. of all of the French people.
Mm-hmm. Of the French people or all people?
When I say French people, even they'll say anyone is French that has been born or been a citizen or even lived in France. They're not talking about white French. They're talking about French people like us. That's why there's fraternité, like, which is like, you are my brother. If you are living, you know, if you are living in this country and you're working in this country and you're, you know, there's a solidarity. I think that that's the other part of the Yellow Vest movement. I'm not talking about the anti-Semitic part.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the very accepting part of the Yellow Vest movement. They're very accepting that there are workers. And you know, that you are a worker, I'm a worker, you're French, I'm French, we support each other, we're mm-hmm. here in the same struggle together, class struggle.
Okay.
So I don't know, I think it's mixed. The Yellow Vest movement has been criticized recently. And then in the beginning it was very accepting and it was large and there was lots of people joining it. I think it's just very mixed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every time I hear about, you know, this stuff, revolts happening in other countries and the complete unawareness of people here, you know, because I don't know, like, do you find this, like, people in your life want to know about this? Do they care to talk about this?
Do they talk about what this
your experience in France in terms of, you know, witnessing
here in the USA? No one cares. Like, I really don't think people care here in the people, my friends or my community, like where I worked and where I continue working, where I don't think many people are aware, and I don't think a lot of people care. I think that the USA politics dominates political culture around the world. And that's what even the French are even aware that there's an impeachment, that right. Donald Trump was impeached. And here, no one, I mean, people don't even know the Yellow Vest movement, I think right. A lot of people know. And I like Andy's position as to why he sometimes doesn't really care so much about what's going on. I like his position so much about why it happens. I don't think everyone who doesn't care is because of what Andy is. What I think, like, you don't care not because you don't care about what's happening, because you care in a different way. You know that the USA is meddling over there, and so you're focused here on the USA. And that is what you need to concentrate on, not in China with Hong Kong, not in Europe, mm-hmm. right? And we're not going to be making episodes on what's happening in France constantly, because you're focused here to try to...
Yes.
Right?
But I would say this,
yeah,
though. Because I like what you said, though, is that I do actually think, in a sense, that the same way that I get concerned that the working class in this country is being drawn into this electoral web of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump or Democrats and Republicans... I actually think, in a sense, of what I hear you saying is almost the whole world gets drawn into that.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the reality is the most important thing happening, one of the most important things happening on the globe, is not this fight between Trump or and Bernie Sanders or what's happening. The most important thing right now is this struggle, because this is about workers in struggle over an extended period of time. What happens to their ideas? What happens to the organization? One of the signs of the international weakness of the working class is the fact that workers here are just like, work. We're paying attention to the election. We're not wondering what the hell's going on over there. What's happening to people there? Not just as a way of like, oh, can I help them? But of course, but like, that's us. That's that's our struggle. That's our future right there. Yeah. That's what's interesting to me is if we have any future here, we're going to have our 60-day general strikes and get worn out and see which directions politically we end up going, yeah. You know, and get worn down and see how our union leaders work to organize the strike but keep it hemmed in at the same time. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. How do outside forces, like yellow vests, people who are not organized, how do they get into the struggle and influence it for the better? I do think they influence for the better, but also how do they politically develop into it? Do they tend to politically develop right, left? Those are much bigger questions for me than what's going to happen with Sanders and we prediction. Yeah. But yeah. Those are much more decisive and meaningful questions for the future of the globe.
Yeah, I just want to quickly. Yeah, I think that quickly just to add is that I like that you have really given me a different perspective on that and how you view global politics. Mm. And for me, I think when I felt people just didn't know, like what Kenny is asking, do people find, or do I find that people care or ask me? I think they're just very apathetic or they just don't really care. They're even keeping up with the politics of their own government or their own country is challenging. So I think that people following politics happening over there are not very important. A lot of people don't even know that you can have a prime minister and a president at the same time, like in France. Mm. That is like, what? You have a prime minister, but you also have a president? Yeah, well, that's happening in France. I think even stuff like that, just to answer your question now, from this to that, a lot of people don't ask me what happened in French politics.
And I ask that because, you know, I do like look around, you know, try to see what's happening, you know, Chile. Because we've talked in the past, you know, I think we're very far from anything like that, close to what's happening in France.
Yeah.
However, I do think that there can be a domino effect, you know, like them being gaining, you know, if they go far, they have certain, you know, lessons that they learn and other workers are looking at them, mm-hmm. you know, and they can be a domino effect. But the fact is that we in this country, you know, we live in a bubble, you know, that where we don't have a sense of up and down, really. Like we're kind of lost, you know. It is shocking to people to find out that, you know, this is happening in France, or even dismiss it. Oh, it's the French, you know. The French love to do that.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know, and not understanding that that's important, that it is relevant to us, you know, what is, or in the sense that none of that is happening, and we are far from nothing. And then we are getting ready for another election. And so we're getting bombarded with, you know, the impeachment on one side and the coronavirus on the other. You know, which, you know, like we thought about discussing that, right? Yeah. But I think it's part of that, you know, like this whole buffoonery of, you know, coverage and distraction and the fact that we are over, you know, we have water over our heads and most people are just struggling to stay afloat. And so there is no struggle here, you know, like by and large, like teacher strikes, which was probably the bright spot in the last
22 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've kind of,
it's died down.
Yeah. I mean, you guys
we've got a long way to go.
Don't you have, isn't your contract due this year?
Contract is up in June and we have a long fight ahead of us to see if we can get our union to go on strike.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen in months like this.
No, it won't happen. I mean, if it happens, my belief, if it happens, it's going to be 2021, February, March, but we'll see. I don't like our prospects right now.
Yeah. And then, you know, we cut up again in this politics of, you know, we got to vote for anyone but Trump, you know, like on the left. And this is what I keep hearing from people is, you know, and that shows a level of desperation, you know, like, because, you know, like there was also a Supreme Court ruling and, you know, I'm in the immigration, you know, pro-immigration circles. And I've asked some people, it's like, what can we do about this? What can you possibly do?
Yeah.
And the reality is there's nothing we can do at the moment.
Unless, the only thing that could stop it is a response, like what we're seeing in France in relationship to pensions. Like, yeah. And that response is in relationship to pensions. If workers made a response of that sort,
yeah.
Like when we Remember when the government was shut down mm-hmm. and workers were saying, you can't go to work and you're not going to... Mm-hmm. Like, if there had been a more concerted response by workers, I think that would have put a challenge to the government about whether they would think, oh, are we going to do this? It would have put a challenge to the Supreme Court. Now, the idea of workers right now going on strike to defend immigrants, we're very far away from that.
But that's my point. There's nothing we can do now. Yeah. You know, and if we don't understand that the power lies in our ability to organize and strike, you know, that's our ultimate weapon. You know, voting, it's delusional, you know, like, because, and again, people, I keep asking people, like, what is, you know, you're going to vote for Bernie for this. What is the structure of power going to change? Mm. I mean, the assault on immigrants is going to continue. The assault of the working class ultimately is going to continue. You know, and that's where I am at, you know, trying to, in my circles, talk about this, bring this conversation. Like, no, we all have skin in the game. It's not just about benevolence to the immigrants on the other side. That's an assault on workers in this country. Yeah. Borders are a capitalist creation, you know, so they should be toppled. You know, and you do have skin in the game. It's not just about being a savior to, you know, some suffering immigrant. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to stand with them in solidarity. And ultimately, to fight for others, we have to fight for our own selves. Mm-hmm. You know, and so...
And if we're unwilling to fight for ourselves, we can't really offer any meaningful solidarity.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just charity forever.
Yeah.
You know, perpetual charity. And I don't want that. You know, like, I mean, but... So that's why I look
so
at
you. So you're saying you're inspired, or you're feeling you're saying that you're feeling hopeful to see that in Latin America, in France.
Yeah, I mean, like I've seen some images, you know, I don't know, obviously this might be selected for whatever reason, algorithms feeding me what I want to see, you know, but I woke up this morning and saw an image, a video of a fireman with the, you know, sickle and hammer flag on their shoulder.
Right.
I saw, you know, weeks ago, a strike in France with the protesters up in front getting bombed with a poster saying Marxism or death.
Right.
I saw, you know, a lady, some probably, you know, looked like a stereotypical housemaker, and she was saying this is more than just, you know, pensions. This is about the last 30 years. And they're also, you know, looking back into their glorious history, and they're like, we've taken out kings, so we can take out Macron. So some people are calling for his head.
Yeah.
You know, and so it has evolved. Obviously, we have to see where it's gonna split, with the fork on the road, where it's gonna take it.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time that I get, you know, animated by some of these things, I do see the distance that we have travel here.
Even in French, the French working class is very far away from.
Yeah, and so.
And they're far away, and we're way behind them.
But at the same time, and again, this is, I'm sorry, making it about me, but having conversations with friends, people that are interested, you know, and when I share my sense of what being a socialist is, and because I'm learning, I make it known, like, and again, don't let me tell you, you know, but deconstructing some of the understanding of the worlds of the world politics, people realize that they're more socialist than they think, mm-hmm. you know, that they share more of the common values, you know, and ultimately they have to understand that they have skin in this game too. Mm-hmm. Everyone who wakes up and goes to work mm-hmm. has skin in this game, and we're not that different than, you know, the workers in France, in Chile, mm-hmm. in Ecuador, in Puerto Rico, you know, and so, but, you know, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see where we land, but in the meantime, I'll keep in my socialist corner, lonely socialist corner.
You don't have very much hope, or do you, for what's happening?
I like globally what Kenny's saying about those kind of posters. I think those are meaningful. I am curious. I will ask a question, then I'll say something about what I feel about what's going on in France. Marxism, communism, to what extent do you get a sense that there's a reinvestigation of these things, that there's a kind of a new look of things like, of those ideas as a tool for animating the struggle?
Well, let's point out to history for the CGT. I think the CGT itself was in 18 something, that it had some, it's 18, the late 1800s, where they had some connection to Lenin Marxist ideals.
Yes. No? Yeah. I mean,
Look, so I'm just trying to mention some context where they, I mean, what did you want to say there?
But I think they're...
No, they're not. They're not today what they are. Anything, no, yes. Nothing so, like that.
But so it's got to be a new look, and not a look that's some Marxist who says, who's a trade union bureaucrat, basically. Because I think those people are looking to see what is the best deal they can make. But is there any sense that there's something being animated about from below, from within that struggle, for really relooking at the at these ideas as a guide for what's going to have to happen in the course of this struggle?
If you're asking me if I saw some serious socialists like you,
yeah,
there were some.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
but I can also tell you very sadly that there were few.
I
spoke to them where they spoke to me in a way that even was beginning too hard for me to understand in their French, that they were really like not just talking about Marxism in a way that's theoretical, but really talking about how they need to tap into this energy and weaponize it against the ruling class. And the only way to do that, they kept saying, is through Marxism, through socialism. Because the trade unions are going to then negotiate, they're going to then come to an agreement, and then it's done. You're done with the strike.
Right.
The strike needs to go from there beyond.
Correct.
And so they were saying to me that they were wanting to apply these ideals to the struggle. And so that's just to answer your question. When you're saying to me, were there? Yes, there were, but very, like, they may be considered like on the fringes.
And that doesn't surprise me. And
I'm just telling you that how it is. It's
I would expect that.
I can't tell you that there were thousands.
nor would I expect that to be that. But were they younger, older, mix?
Mostly older.
Yeah, mostly
older. But there were some younger, I think, but I don't... Again, I don't want to judge based on appearance, so I cannot say, but there were some younger, but I didn't speak to them.
Yeah.
Because I can't really tell if they were really... I mean, there was a socialist, they had their socialist side. There was like many, there were different like groups. They were all uniting as they were walking. And this one specifically, I just saw them together and I went up to them, and then there was an older person. I spoke to a few people. They were all telling me their point of view. I told them where I was from. I'm from Mexico and everything. I told them that I'm doing this, what's left. And I talked about you a little bit, and then next time when Aunt Kenny comes with me, maybe he'll meet some. Yeah. But the point is, they're not like large group of them. They think people like to play with socialism and they throw the word socialism. Everyone does.
Yeah.
But to be serious about a revolution, revolutionary socialists, I have not met many people like that, like you two. Yeah. I mean, I really don't think that a lot of people are thinking about actually arming themselves and going against Macron and his cronies. Right. I think people are really just trying to get trying to get a good deal for their pensions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how and not just for their pensions. Just for a good deal for their pensions. Yeah. That was really bad of me to say, to undermine some movement that has lasted for more than for now 50-60 days, and here I'm just saying people are trying to get a good deal on their pensions. I want to redact and say people are thinking about their pensions and people are thinking about the wider economic hardships, but they're not as organized as I wanted to say to be revolutionary.
Yeah. Do you hear capitalism be the word?
Yes, but they say things like anti-capitalism, anti-capitalism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they know that there's capitalism is a part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many are saying that. Like there was a lot of people, and also if you're just looking online as well, like on YouTube, and you see people do say it's because of capitalism. But then again, it depends on the media that you're listening or watching, like France 24. You're not going to hear those shouts.
Right.
So it's a little bit who really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
France 24 is just very informational, but they're not going to record something like that.
It's very curious. Because, I mean, I find it here that some people are turned off by three words capitalism, empire, and socialism. They get turned off and they're very weary. They don't want to throw it around. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
But I think that here's where I think you and I may disagree, Andy, where I think people don't have to say socialist, maybe. I think some people are, like we talked about Greta Thunberg, where she really does criticize the system. And you want her to say socialism. But she's calling them out in a way that I don't think... I think you want her to say that last time we were discussing this. I don't think that people are saying that. But once it picks up, I mean, I think people will join. I think that's how I see it. But this is my...
That's the train of moving again.
Yeah. Once you start going... Right?
And it doesn't have to have socialism on the side. It can be called something else.
And then eventually it's like too fast for it to be stopped.
Don't you bring your wood?
Well, I won't reopen that one.
But now it's your turn to answer the question, I think, for you, as he was saying.
So what's important for me about this is to see how the struggle develops, because what they've done is something I would love to happen in San Francisco. I would love for it to happen in California, but you can also see how workers can be throttled, you know, how they can be drained and their blood taken out of them economically. And what happens then? Because that is possible. I mean, not working means you don't get paid, you know? So that is still the case. I mean, it is a fight to the death around that kind of thing. So
we're at attrition, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I understand that the working class in France would have had to expand even to all workers, all segments beyond transportation like that. But there are difficulties for that. I can imagine what they are. The same, no different here. But again, the thing they've done is the thing I'm wanting to do here, and yet we can see that the ruling class holds on. The ruling class bides its time, pressure, repression, but also their own kind of patience and keeping them hemmed in. And what happens then? You know, then. So it's going to be. There are going to be important lessons out of this, because this is not just going to be the first round. There are going to have to be subsequent rounds. And will it be the French working class that does the next round? Maybe they've been worn out here. Maybe they will feel like, we can't do this again. Look what happens. You just get, you lose your house. You lose this, you lose that, you know. And you don't necessarily get a good, better deal on your pension as a result of it. So it can't be for the French working class to bear the responsibility of all this, of all the lessons and of the struggle. But so I look at it, because if we do what I hope we do here, we can find our lives will be changed. Not necessarily for the better after those 2 months. You know, you might have to move out. You may have to, but that is what we need to do. You know, and I for me, I want to know what lessons people learn out of that, and how our workers change through it. So that's how I think about it, because I don't think we're going to see a socialist revolution in France. It's about, does Macron stay or does Macron go? And if you're talking about that, you're not talking about socialist revolution. Those institutions are going to have to be completely pushed aside. Workers are going to have to build their own institutions and say, oh yeah, we want that to come to power. That's not what's right there in France right now.
And unfortunately, they have that history, but they're not looking at it. I mean, at one point they did Paris, right? Yeah. The Paris Commune.
Yeah, and built alternative institutions.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that was in the 1800s. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean,
but they have history. They don't have it here in the USA.
Yeah. Right? So, it is more like, that is what I'm looking at there, is to ask, how are they doing, kind of thing, and what's happening with the ideas there. So I appreciate you saying, look, there's some socialists there, but just like they are here, they're very few, they're isolated. And we can't necessarily say that this struggle has grown that group, you know, necessarily. We don't know.
Here?
No, in France.
Oh, France. But they, you know. Sure, they. I would say that they have more potential.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, are you willing to say that?
Yes, because the struggle itself creates that potential for some people drawing those conclusions. And then you draw those into your struggle, and you have to save them for the next round and to try to build off. That's how I'm looking at it right now. That's my best answer for it.
Yeah.
But the right will also be built out of this. There'll be people who will say, I'm never going to do that again. F this. Keep the immigrants out and stuff like that.
Which Marie Le Pen was trying to tap into. Yeah. She's the one on the right wing, more conservative leaning. Well, she was a candidate. I'm not sure if she's going to run again.
Right. And that's why for me, this was, while this perhaps may be one of our most disjointed episodes ever, it really was more just about questions, you know, to see the person who's there, what's the best they can do to try to make some sense of it. And I know you were put in a hot seat here, you know.
But
you did well. I mean, I'm just saying it wasn't easy because what we're wanting out of this is just to kind of, at least for me, I'm still trying to figure out what I want out of the struggle to kind of like learn from it. Mm-hmm. I just know that it's very important, you know, and it's one of the most important things happening in the world right now.
Yeah. I want to just add that I met some agricultural workers that work in the, ¿cómo se dice? Viñas?
Vines?
Vineyards. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Vineyards. I'm supposed to depend on you. What is that? Viñas, o sea, las viñas are like...
like Napa Valley.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. You said vines. You didn't say... Vineyards.
Oh, God. Fortunately, he doesn't get frustrated with me on that. He's going to get it on you.
Talk about it. Kind of Mexican.
Because he knows the word, I'm sure, but it's hard to put on. Vineyards?
Vineyards? Vineyards?
Vineyards and vineyards.
I'm saying, sorry for my accent, vineyard.
No, you didn't. Vineyards? You said vines.
Vines. Isn't a vine in a vineyard?
Yes, they
are. Is it?
Yes, but I was talking a vineyard.
So what is a vineyard? Is that a thing?
It is.
Or is it
vineyard?
Vineyard.
V-I-N-E, vine, yard.
Yeah.
It's two words, but made in one word. And that would be a place where people grow grapes to make wine.
Yeah, so in vineyard?
And you vineyard. Said... And you said vine, and vine is a specific plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you saying a grape a vine?
It is.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
But vineyard is like the whole.
This is why socialism doesn't work.
anyhow, viñas are vineyards. I met some people in the agriculture who were working in the vineyards, and they were not immigrants. They're actually French, and they said that where was I going with this now, because we were talking about this
workers.
I just saw an array and a diverse crowd, and I was very moved by it, that being Latinos that were there, that lived in France, mm-hmm. who speak French, who have French citizenship, people who are also immigrants from there, that are like in Grenoble, which is a lot of Mexicans that live there, the who are students and eventually decide to live there. There were just agriculture workers, and there were railway workers, and there were just an array of people. I really felt inspired by it, and this was one of the most impactful for me, because I have always seen protests, but from the side in Paris, and never really joined it myself. Yeah. And I was almost afraid, because here I was recording it, mm-hmm. and I was afraid I was going to get hit or tackled by the police. I kept being told that by people around me.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated Alex, if she ever watches this, I'll send this to her, who took me under her wing and presented me to lots of French people. And when I didn't understand something, she always said it to me in a way that I understood. Mm. And also, I think I wrote about her in a postcard to you, and I hope you got my postcard. But, no, not yet, okay. But it's just very, it was very moving, is what I wanted to relay that I felt inspired by. And hopefully I will go back, and if this process still continues, because I'll go back maybe in April or May, then I'll join again. Mm. I didn't just watch from the sideline.
Is there anything else you'd want to say about your experience there? I mean, you kind of did end it here with the vineyard thing, but no, bit of a summary.
There was an important element to that as you were talking, who knows what it was now.
But do you feel like there's anything else from your experience that you feel like is important to share?
One thing I will just constantly say is how much, at least in Paris, where I stayed the majority of time, people don't think Macron is their savior. They don't see it as the West, most of the countries in the West or in the USA sees it. I think people really look at Macron next to Trump and they try to say he is the next world leader that needs to step up to the plate and lead us on environmental issues, on reform issue, whatever, you know, trying to replace Trump, because the USA, for example, got out of the Paris agreement.
Yeah.
And this is something that all of the French will tell me. He is not what people portray him to be out in the USA. He is a fascist. He is a racist. And people say he is not for the working class. He is really just disguised as someone who's trying to be for the working class. Mm-hmm. He's an elitist and he has ties. He was a banker before, he worked in the bank. So he's an elitist and he has lots of ties to very wealthy people and he serves them and not the rest of us. And that's what I think they really tried to get me to say a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's seen like, maybe it's a little far-fetched, but AMLO is the leader of Latin America, where everyone's trending to the right. And everyone is sort of trending to the right in Europe as well, sort of. And he is seen as the world leader, and he is not. And the French really recalcan eso, emphasize that.
Yeah, that they are not buying what Macron is selling.
Yeah, they don't trust him.
Yeah,
yeah.
But and
there's very low ratings.
Yeah, and that represents a real change.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because he's very stuck up. Like the way he talks to people, the way he puts on people, the way he, you know, there are many videos of him, the way he is so, just he has even his way of being is just very, he's snobbish.
Well, I think maybe we wrap up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Eduardo, I know this was hard. I know that we put you in a lot of pretzel-like positions of trying to figure out, okay, how am I answer this question?
Yeah.
Did I answer your question? I think it was a struggle for all of us to kind of figure out, okay, what do we want from this episode?
Yeah.
Which that's going to happen.
Figured
sometimes.
It out. Yeah.
I think near more of the end, we kind of, okay, this is what we're about. So if you're with us still, great. You know?
We're great.
But thank you. Thank you for doing this and putting yourself, well, I'm glad you went there. I actually do think I gained something out of this to give me a sense of perspective and both a sense of measure about, okay, strikes, yes, but that will not itself just answer the question without organization and politics and things like that, but you know, but this was good to think about and hear about.
Do you plan to visit France one day?
Not in the near future.
You don't care, huh? You're not like one of those people.
My work is here, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I love how you're added to this. Yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh my gosh.
It's actually confusing at the beginning when, like, I met him and, you know, he was about justice and you know, revolution and this and. But he hadn't been outside the country.
Yeah.
Like, we took him to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, yeah, you just...
I'm an internationalist who's very stuck within the nation.
Yeah, because, we went to the Dominican Republic, which was, like, being in... We were in an all-inclusive, whatever, but...
Yeah. No, you
got stuck in El Salvador.
I just find it interesting. Andy is not... Like, when I talk about France, everyone's like, oh, my God. And like, for me, it's, like, sort of no-brainer because I was there as an adolescent. I didn't have a choice. So I sort of fell in love with the people because I just grew up going there. And then I hate it when people say, I love Paris, and I've only been there for a few days. And I always hate saying I love Paris because I feel cliche about it. But you're just like, I'm not interested. I don't care about France.
No, but I've come to understand why, and I respect that.
Mm.
Because again, if we want to fight for someone else, we first have to fight for ourselves and get, you know, political power.
Yeah,
you know, and so it really doesn't matter much what's going on in other places, you know, because we have to fight here.
Yep.
And you know, and if we're again focusing, oh, but look at them, then they got us. Yep. That's what I've learned, at least from looking at you.
That's how I do feel like, you know, this is my position. I'm here fullback on the soccer field, you know, and I can't go look at the wing or the striker and be like, oh, look what they're doing. If I do that, then they score a goal on us while I'm sitting here. Yeah. So this is my lane. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Well, I hope you visit my country at least, Mexico.
Mexico? I've been there.
Oh, okay.
I've been there. We took we got Gordo up here from that dog. You know that? Do you know the dog? With your, you know, friend.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Okay. And other things. We did some stuff around cross border solidarity and stuff like that. But.
And you know, and ultimately, to me, like that's why I've come, and you know, my journey has taken me to socialism, because.
Which we will link to his episode.
Yeah, but it ultimately encompasses all the fights that I care about. Yeah. You know, because they all stem from this fact, this, you know, this system, right? That, and so, you know, if you're for immigrants, if you're not, you know, socialist, it's kind of baffling to me. Or, you know, women's rights, or, you know, just discrimination overall, like fixing the wrongs requires fighting for yourself first.
Yeah,
you know, and so that your voice actually counts.
Yeah,
and so that's why, again, look at you, and I understand now, like years later, you know, that, you know, it doesn't matter, like, because you do care, like, you know, and maybe this is when I take the chance to say that, you know, I privately said that, you know, like, I admire you in that sense, because you care about people you don't know, and you're fighting for people you don't know, and you don't have to know, have seen them, you know, you don't need the poverty porn.
To be moved.
Yeah, to be moved. Yeah. And because it's about you first. And that's the other mistake about socialism, I think, that people think that it's like all of you are the same.
Right.
But it's actually individuals fighting collectively.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, just lessons that I'm learning. But
Well,
thank you both.
Thank you. This was good. I'm glad we did this three-way. Made it.
I saved it.
Yeah, you did. And Kenny pulled this out for us. So I'll give you a break and say, if you enjoyed this episode and you stayed this long, you know, with us, you should rate, review, comment on this episode.
I will do it.
And you can see.
Subscribe first.
You can subscribe as well.
Subscribe rate, first. Review. Yeah.
And you can do that on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, and BitChute. And anything you can do to help promote and let people know what we're doing here would be helpful. So other than that, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Eduardo. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Ciao.
Tell me when you're ready.
That's the good thing about Kenny's phone is that you can always
just fucking start, go forever.
Talk. Do whatever.
We could just go, I'll take a dump right now and come back and do the video.
Mind that you have to really be on time. I like the pressure a little bit. All right. Ready?
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm just going to say to Kenny, because he doesn't know me being like this when I'm the center
of
attention.
He knows that you're just all nervous now.
I know you're fake. I'm
fake, exactly.
Shit.
Oh my gosh.
Let your elitism come out. Just
kidding. This is not a good start. We gotta boost up. Eduardo, we love you. You're gonna do great.
You're gonna be great.
God damn, Kenny, what the hell?
Isn't that,
whoa.
Isn't that rocket science?
Holy shit.
Attacking me already.
How do you feel?
Nervous.
Okay. You'll do great.